Isn't it a wonderful thing that you know I can do this? My, what an age we're living in when I can sit here in Portland and talk to you right wherever you are, in your home, in your car, whatever you may be, and discuss for a few moments the wonderful things in the Scriptures, the marvelous provision that God has made for men and women to be saved, and then the treasures that God has stored up for every believer in His Son. Aren't you glad you're a Christian, friend? Isn't it wonderful to know Christ as your Savior? And also, isn't it marvelous that God has made provision for you in the midst of a world that's corrupt, in the midst of a world that's under the sentence of death, in the midst of a world where Satan, the devil, rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of men, that you and I can know the Savior, and then can be fitted to stand against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we come again to Ephesians chapter 6, the warfare of the Christian, and we're down to verse 17 and 18. And may I take us up this morning, or today, wherever you may be. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now here we are dealing in verses 17 and 18 with the Word of God and prayer. Here are our weapons, our aggressive weapons. We've been dealing with the armor in the past lessons, about the loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And that last one, you remember, in closing up our last lesson, the wonder of it all, where we can say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard the deposit until that day. Or Philippians 1:6, which says, He which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Christ. And our minds must be clear as to the truth of God. Helmet of salvation. Now we come to our aggressive weapons. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen to this. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. My, what a combination of tools, of weapons God's given to us. The Word of God and prayer. These are the two weapons which God has given to us to defeat the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 5. When Paul says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, I tell you, Christian friend, let us not be defeated believers. Let us be victorious, delivered believers. Available to God to be used by Him. The sword of the Spirit. You see, the trouble is we're not acquainted with our sword. I confess again to you, I'm appalled at the ignorance of the people of God, living in a world and not being able to use the sword of the Spirit. Amazed that they do not know a thing about the helmet of salvation. They know so little about the breastplate of righteousness. They do not gird their loins with truth. And they absolutely are defenseless when it comes to the usage of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You remember, and I come back to this passage in Matthew chapter 4. By the way, it's written in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's not written in, John doesn't have the temptations of our Savior. You remember, John is the gospel of God manifest in the flesh, and God is not a man that can be tested. But in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have him where he's tested by the devil. And how did he defeat the devil? How did he use the sword? He just said, it is written, three times, it is written, it is written. And the devil left him. The devil did the running, not Jesus. Why didn't Jesus say, as the Son of God, I rebuke thee? Why didn't he call for a legion of angels? Why didn't he call for Michael the archangel? No, no, no. As a man in the midst of men, he did what you and I can do. or ought to do, is to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and he just said, it is written. He didn't say, if you understand the Word of God. He just said, it's written. It's written. It is written. Satan says, you're not a Christian. You wouldn't do that if you were a Christian. You're going to say, it is written, that the man who puts his trust in the Savior is a child of God. Can I plead with your heart this morning, Christian friend? The more corrupt the world becomes, the more you and I should get into this blessed book and know it. Can you give a reason for the hope within you? Can you say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God? Can you take the sword of the Spirit and wield it and use it and defeat the powers of hell? I plead with your heart to get to know the Word of God. You say, Mr. Mitchell, I'm an old man, I'm an old woman, and my mind doesn't retain things. That doesn't hinder you if you can read it all. Read the Word of God. I didn't ask you to understand it. Read it and read it and read it and read it, and it'll do something more than you realize. Read the Word of God. Didn't David say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee? He didn't say the understanding of the Word of God's going to clean you and cleanse you. It's the Word of God itself. I don't understand the power of the Word of God. It's beyond me. It's so powerful. It's so mighty. It so cleanses the life. I just plead with you, my friend. And young people, start now to fill your mind, saturate your life with the Word of God, and be able to wield the sword of the Spirit in this generation that is already under the control of hell. I'm not saying that they're all bad. Most young people are wonderful. But the tragedy is they don't know the Savior. And they've been caught by the wiles of the devil. He comes in the garments of righteousness to deceive. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Learn to wield it and to use it. And then verse 18, you have your resources. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Oh, listen, friend. Praying and watching, these are our resources. It's like a sentry on duty. It's a warfare. He uses a military term. The watch. Be on the watch. Sentry duty. Be on the alert. We have an enemy. Don't fall asleep. Be vigilant. This is what Colossians 4:2 says. This is what Thessalonians 5:6 says. This is what 1 Peter 4:7 says. Praying and watching with all perseverance. Oh my, it's so easy. It's so easy to give up. It's so easy to fall asleep. I know what I'm talking about. Just like dear old Peter. He was a good sleeper. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching, guarding thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why? Because they're all in battle. Just like when our men were overseas, those of us at home were at war too. We were at war too. We were praying for our boys. We were giving to our boys. We were giving for the national defense and so forth and so on, all had a part in the war. You just didn't get away from it. One way or another, it affected you. So it is in the warfare, the spiritual warfare. We need to pray for each other, not to damn each other, not to criticize each other, but to pray for each other, to pray for each other. Praying always with all prayer, with perseverance, supplication for all saints. And even Paul said, in the next verse, and do it for me too. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, friend, even Paul yearned for the saints of God to pray for him, that he might be bold in the midst of an enemy world to proclaim the gospel of peace. People say, well, Mr. Mitchell, what shall I pray for? Listen. You could spend 2 hours on your knees and not get through praying for God's people. Not to say anything about the world outside and its sin, or your missionaries in every part of the world. One of the great reasons why the world doesn't know the Savior is because the Church of Christ ceased praying. You remember Matthew 9, where Jesus said at the end of the chapter, he had compassion upon the people, for they were as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Remember, there is a harvest to be reaped, and the lack is for laborers. And why don't we pray? May I say to those of you who are shut in, you older ones who are shut in and can't go very far, right while you're shut in, on your backs possibly, won't you enter the ministry of prayer and supplication for missionaries? Won't you pray for the Church of Christ? Won't you pray for God's people? Won't you pray for the young people? Won't you pray that God will send forth laborers into his harvest? Oh, grant you may do this. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer, your resources are in a mighty eternal God. And even Paul needed the prayers of God's people. Won't you pray for us over this broadcast? Won't you pray for every believer, every pastor, every Bible teacher, every minister of the Word of God, every missionary, every Christian worker? Oh, brother, let's not stop praying. Help us by prayer, that in some way we can reach our generation with the word of life. Now we've come to the end of Ephesians. And at the end of Ephesians, you've got the salutations. I'll not take any time on it. This closes our study in the book of Ephesians.